Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
And welcome back to the Chilluminati podcast. As always, I'm one of your hosts, Mike Martin, joined today by Jesse and Alex. Jesse and Alex. That's all.
Just
I got
two anymore. Normal guys who look the same and sit in the webcams next to each other.
Fantastic. I love that musical. If I sounded confused, because Alex just said something kind of like, I'm a little nervous about what this episode's going to be about now. I mean, I know what it's about, but like,
how do you know what it's about?
If you paid attention to our text chat,
Jesse. I don't.
Don't worry.
I don't at all.
Don't worry about it. Hi, everybody. Hello. Yes, it is time. Real quick, I wanted to start with a special skit that I prepared for us to read. Let's get that out of the way right now. I've written everybody's names in the script, so it's really easy. So you just read the lines that come after your name. Easy.
Okay.
Here we go.
2023. The Devil's Year. It was a December night in Los Angeles, December 3rd to be exact. Jesse was at the Telegram Ballroom that night, following a lead on a story. Mathis and Alex were supposed to meet him there, but when he walked on stage that night, mysteriously, the theater was totally empty, and he heard a voice.
Jesse!
Yeah? Who said that? Wait, I'm not supposed to say that, am I?
Yes.
I am? Oh, yeah? Who said that? Mathis, was that you?
Jesse was confused. It sounded like him, but he felt totally alone. Where were Mathis and Alex?
Yes, Jesse, it's me, Mathis, caught on the other side of a mystery. A mystery that can only be solved if people come to the Telegram Ballroom in Los Angeles on December 3rd.
Don't worry, baby. As sure as I'm Jesse Cox, you won't be trapped in there very long. I'm sure everyone's following the link in the description to buy tickets as we speak.
I hope you're right. There's actually a bunch of special guests over here in the mystery realm right now. It's crazy.
Wow. Sweet.
And so, now listener, it's up to you. Will
Jesse ever resolve?
Ever! Damn it! No!
Will he ever resolve the mystery and get his friends out of the nether realm? Find out at the live show on December 3rd in Los Angeles at the Telegram Ballroom. Alex is mute because I needed Jesse to voice the narrator. Link in the show notes for tickets or find them on
Live Nation or Ticketmaster or whatever else.
Merry Chillmas, everyone, and it's definitely Ticketmaster.
Aw, cute.
And there you have it. A perfectly realized vision.
I think we sold out from that ad alone.
Yeah, a perfectly realized creative vision. Thank you guys in advance for buying every last ticket.
If they bought anything, I don't know what they put money down for.
Come to the live show.
Look, even if you're not going to be at the live show, buy a ticket to the live show.
Fuck it. Yeah, you know what? Buy a ticket and sponsor someone on the subreddit to go to the live show in your stead.
Can we do that? Like a little program, sponsor a Redditor to the
I don't think that's legal.
Yeah, it's actually not legal. It's not transferable.
Maybe don't do that.
I don't know if you can or you can't. You know what? You do whatever you need to do. With that, folks, it's true. Welcome back to the dark and complex mythology of Alex episodes on the show and the crazy hints that I've been dropping about something involving the number 8 as well as the letter H, which I have not figured out yet, which happens to be the 8th letter of the alphabet. 8H, 8th letter of the alphabet. Don't know what I'm going to do with this yet. It's also about the next 8 episodes I was going to do after the last JFK one. So that's a lot of 8s and H's.
So this is going into like 2027 is what you're saying.
No, not, no. We're almost halfway through. We're done with being mysterious about the green stone for now, since I sort of wrapped up that story for now. And now it's time to make guesses about this, or whether there's even a mystery at all, or whether I'm just making this up as I'm going along, as it very much clearly
what
seems
a great
like
start. Yeah.
This yes. is I love to telling. Just build up
really compelling.
It's about trust. Like, it's about getting everybody on my side from the beginning.
If this was about trust, I would have left this relationship a long time ago. If this is about trust, you got me three times that greenstone.
If you guys will remember the first hint that I gave,
I would already be married to someone else. I would have kids with someone else. That's how long ago the breakup would have been.
The greenstone.
I would have moved on.
The greenstone is a very good episode. If you'll remember the first hint that I gave,
if only it was one episode.
The greenstone is one episode. If you listen, if you go back and listen, it's actually just one episode. If you'll remember, the first hint that I gave for our first guest episode was the word hidden with someone Jesse and I knew, who has since now become someone Mathis knows and loves too, Michael Santel. And of course, hidden, the clue was in reference to the various alien conspiracies we talked about that week. Then the next hint was heavyweights, which was our weird wrestling enigmas episode with Gerard. And now we're on to clue number three, which is horse. That's today's clue, horse. And which, as you will see in just a moment, hints perfectly at the subject of today's episode, which is supposed to be the dark secrets of the Denver airport. Okay? So that's today's theme.
Time out.
Yeah. Horse.
Which is supposed to be, and then you say the name of the episode. My question is,
is that what we're doing?
Is it the episode, or was that what it was before we changed?
All the information is on the task. Now, really quickly.
No, what? It's not. What? Someone watching this episode right now or listening to this episode needs a title for it,
how,
Alex.
How are you being?
What do we title this episode?
I have said, there's never been one time when I said the title of an episode, and then when you go look at the title of that episode, that is the title of that episode.
Because the title you name your episodes are like SEO poison.
I know. I don't expect anything different.
How are
different.
You being more confusing than Santel? I've not known Santel that long.
What is, I'm so this, lost. Did you, are you on drugs, Alex? What, are you okay?
Not in a way you should be concerned about. This is the dark secrets of the Denver airport. Really quickly, let me just read all the clues one more time about my own stupid bullshit really quick. So you can visit r/Illuminati pod to go discuss your best guesses. And then I'll get on with things. I promise. Here we go. Number four.
What is happening?
Number four, head. Number five, hello. Number six, huge. Number seven, him again. Number eight, hero. It will eventually make sense regardless of whether I have anything on up my sleeve right now or not. And that is a promise.
Then that's that trust you keep telling us we should have.
You have to trust. Didn't the greenstone finish? Didn't the greenstone finish?
Did it?
Did it?
No, I don't think it did. You said,
I'm not sure if it did either.
We'll end this part. And then we just never came back to it.
We've been back and forth on it. I know I said I'm done with the greenstone in celebration of Project 8. Resuming today. That's what I'm calling now Project 8. That's something I made up just now. Didn't write it in my outline, or did I? I'm also resuming my coverage of the further adventures of Joe LaRosa and the Order of Meonia in next week's minisode. So look out for that next week. It's going to be available as soon as the episode drops next week, just like all the other unreleased minisodes we've recorded in a giant treasure trove.
All right.
Patreon.com/Illuminati Pod. Where not only can you get minisodes, but also ad-free episodes, bespoke art from Studio Molectro, the greatest studio of all time, early access to merch, early episodes of our movie commentary show, Rotten Popcorn, where Mathis is currently losing his X-Files virginity 1 hour at a time, and more.
Okay, now time out.
Okay, time out.
Time out, everyone.
Yes.
This is for the listeners at home. However you communicate with us, be it on social media or leaving comments under a video or whatever the case may be on Patreon, during this time, I would like you to pause this podcast and just send us a message about what you think this episode is about. Just right in this moment. What do you think this episode is? Let us know. Before we even get to it, just let us know. What do you think this episode's about?
We were on a very clear path to a very clear destination, and then I felt like I looked to my right, and there was just like a wild man mooning me in the woods, and I had to go check it out of curiosity, and I got lost. And I don't know where we're going anymore.
I think you guys are
going
to feel foolish for doubting me.
I felt like I went, to LAX to get on an airport, or like get on a plane to go to Denver airport.
Yeah, you're
and
on that plane,
I fell asleep
me.
On the plane, and when I woke up, I was in Morocco. And I was like, well, how the hell did I get here? And I have no answers for you.
That's what people trust me to do. You know what I mean? That's what I was talking about, trust.
Do trust is a very, very,
I don't know if
very
that's what trust is.
Specific word.
You're like the Jack Sparrow of podcasters. Like, but you have heard of me.
But you have podcasted with me.
It's so funny to see which of Alex's episodes are like the most popular because they're so fucking random. Like they don't, none of them like have anything to do with each other. Just wild shit.
Let's talk briefly about a man called Benjamin F. Stapleton. I do mean briefly because he really doesn't matter to this story, but I figure all context is good context. So you guys can just...
We're just really starting on a very solid footing.
What do you mean? It doesn't matter.
You guys just have to take what you can get, okay? Shout outs to Wikipedia. I promise I fact-checked this reasonably well. Benjamin F. Stapleton was a man, some would say a great man, some would say not. At all. He did 5 terms as the mayor of Denver, Colorado, in the United States of America between the years of 1923 and 1947. He was the Democratic State Auditor of Colorado for 2 years. Also during that time, from 33 to 35, when he wasn't the mayor for a reason that will become very clear in a second. And he was a lawyer, and his interest in politics largely stemmed from the fact that he was a first sergeant in the Spanish-American War in the Philippines. And he helped found the VFW as a result, which, as we all know, is the Veterans of Foreign Wars group, which is kind of like a nice little org that helps people who have fought in wars. It's good stuff. We, you know, that's not debatable. However, this dude, Stapleton, was also huge into the Ku Klux Klan. And he was a close friend of the Colorado Grand Dragon, which is, if you don't know about the Ku Klux Klan, and why would you?
They tried to poison fantasy a little bit.
They name their officers things like Grand Dragon, like the names of dildos today. And John Galen Locke is the name of that dildo. And he won the, and John Stapleton, or Benjamin Stapleton won the 1923 election thanks to their shitty, like white supremacist support as Klan member 1128. THX 1128, and then appointed
MCU, like Universe 1128, you know.
Yeah, and then he appointed, and then once he got into office as the mayor, he appointed a bunch of Klansmen to government positions. And I know I said this is 1923, but 100 years later, in 2023, it's crazy that that shit is still going down. But here is a little quote about that from the man for Mathis to read, and I'm going to just drop that in the chat right now for him. And there you go.
I have little to say except that I will work with the Klan and for the Klan in the coming election, heart and soul. And if I am reelected, I shall give the Klan the kind of administration it wants. I'm not pleased that was my voice to say that clip.
I was going to say, probably don't make a TikTok out of that part.
Like, yeah, no, I'll quickly scrub that.
Eventually, though, he got banished from the Klan because he got whipped up into like an anti-crime platform, and a raid that he like spearheaded accidentally exposed a bunch of Klansmen and the police who were like in leadership positions in the Klan and in the police. And it got them all fired because like, what are you going to do when you find out the police are in the Klan?
Not like the police with Sting in it, which is a way cooler police.
Yeah, that's true. You know what? That's true. That's crazy that you have that sort of cultural literacy about the police. I wouldn't expect it of you.
One of my favorite, and I don't even listen to me. I don't even like music in general, like as a rule, which you know is a lot.
But he loves
the
police. The
police are one of the ones that, like, for some reason, my brain was like, they, I'm not, you like that.
He's like, I want to be out
of here. Exactly, dude. Exactly.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
Just because he got banished from the Ku Klux Klan, though, that does not mean that Stapleton was like tight or punk rock. He was probably still a huge piece of shit. In fact, I'm going to say he definitely was. But he did do a bunch of crazy, like, civic things for the city of Denver and the state of Colorado by definite. Like, he created the Civic Center. He expanded the Denver Mountain Park system. He created the fucking, what's that big amphitheater called? Red Rocks, created Red Rocks, made the first Denver Municipal Airport, and stuff like that. And so when they renamed that airport in 1944, they didn't have the internet to remind everyone that he was in the KKK all that time. So it made sense that they were able to rename that airport the Stapleton International Airport on August 25th of that year, 1944. So that was how that was for a while. And this was kind of the deal in Denver in terms of airports for the next like 40 years or so, 45 years. But by the 80s, as Denver became a very busy travel hub, just because people were flying by the 80s, like normal, like just middle class, lower class families even flying. You know, Denver is like right in the middle of the country. It's like pretty centralized. So, you know, things, the pace went up at Stapleton, and it kind of gradually tried to expand to match that demand, but things had gotten quite crappy as time had gone on. Things like, as they built out the airport, they were getting more and more noise complaints from like people who lived near it that were like, this fucking sucks, it's way too loud. And there's no more room for them to expand runways for more destinations. They can only accommodate however many flights, and there wasn't enough separation between the runways, which was impacting like, what is it called, tower control, where they like have to like plan what time everything can go. Like the fact that the runways were so close together, even though they had enough runways, it just like made it hard to do things, especially in bad weather. And eventually, after an extended legal battle over the annexation of some land from the neighboring county, an investment project so large, I don't know if you've ever heard of this, an investment project so large that it officially classifies as something called a mega project was started. It lasted like over a decade, like a mega project, like to make something like, you know, Disneyland or a base or an airport, right? And after a few years of construction delays and budget overages, some people say up to $3 billion over in budget, which some people use against this airport being an above board type of thing. That's not an accurate figure, though. Just that's a number that people have thrown out. The Denver International Airport was opened for business 28 years ago or so on February 28th, 1995. So it's been around for a while. Today, because it's so far away from stuff, because they don't want to bother anybody or anything like that, it has a footprint of 52.4 square miles.
Damn.
That's fucking big. It is absolutely the largest airport in the Western Hemisphere. The only airport, it's the second biggest airport in the world. The only one bigger is like way bigger. It used to be an old air base, and it's called the King Fahd Airport, International Airport in Saudi Arabia. Insanely over 300 square miles, so almost six times the size of Denver Airport, which is crazy. But even in 2022, Denver International had over 35,000 employees. That's like a Dodger game. And was still the third busiest airport in the world. So that's a lot of people in that place all the time. And like I said, it's a hub. So really, there's a lot of flights and stuff like that. And that brings us up to date as far as you need to know about what the fuck the deal is with the Denver International Airport. It's not a long and short. There's like all kinds of other stuff that I could go into there, but you kind of get what's going on. You're up to date now. So before we dive into the weird conspiracy stuff, I just want to ask, was there a giant airport in Denver that stood in the name of white supremacy and a plan to install racist fascists into key positions to take over the government and the police? Did that happen
at the airport?
I mean, like Stapleton Airport is named after this guy who was a white supremacist. And
I mean, we name stuff after people all the time that we probably shouldn't. So
that's a thing that people say about the Denver airport all the time. And I'm saying, was there an airport in Denver that was kind of built on KKK stuff? And, you know, yeah, there kind of was if you look at it in a certain way.
That's where we're going with this.
It's worth mentioning, I think, that in 2020, the neighborhood of Stapleton that was built in place of the old airport, like where it was, it was called Stapleton in the 90s when they built the new airport far away and turned it into residences. They renamed it Central Park in the wake of the George Floyd protests, because everybody was like, dude, Stapleton was like a fucking white supremacist. So why are we naming our fucking town after him? We named it in the 90s. Let's name that shit something different. So I don't know if you think that, but I feel like the people who lived there were enough moved by this guy's shitty legacy to remove his name. So say what you will. But let's get to the weirdness now, which is mostly going to be based off the excellent article on Mental Floss about the Denver airport by Kate Erbland. But also in parts, I'll be referencing a Denver Post article by John Wenzel, a Business Insider piece by Monica Humphreys, and a Reddit post by user Nick Hinton with three N's and three threes at the end. Some of this is trustworthy. Some of it is less trustworthy. Use your good sense to guide you. I am a comedian, not a professor of airport history. Thank you. Thank you for it. Let's do it. Also, I almost forgot the key thing about this episode, which is that we are going to be rating every one of these conspiracy theories on a scale of 1 to 5 eyeball pyramid things. What are those called? What were we talking about? What are those things? You know, like the Illuminati.
Oh, I know what you're talking about.
Yeah.
What are they called?
On the top of them.
What are they called?
They are I don't know. Called something.
What are they?
I don't know
called?
What they're called. Eye of Judgment? PS3? I think that's what they're called. All right. But we're going to go 1 to 5 on those eyeball pyramid. We're going to call them Chiluminachos. We're going to call them Chiluminachos.
Chiluminachos, right?
Yeah. A Chiluminacho.
I give that name 5 Chiluminachos.
Yeah. It's dipped
I got
the name. Eye
I
of wisdom.
It up. Do you want the name? Okay.
Yeah,
nope,
what's
it's Chiluminachos. Don't ruin this.
The Eye of Providence.
The Eye of Providence. I'm going with
Chiluminachos is better.
Chiluminachos. All right, so let's go to the first thing. Let's talk
about
to
get people making the Illuminati sign at events, but then shouting Chiluminachos because like that's way cooler. And then the Illuminati is going to be like, they co-opted our stuff. We should definitely invite them, and then we control the world.
Their reputation is for friendliness. First off, let's talk about that horse clue I was talking about earlier. I told you it was going to make sense later. The time for it to make sense is now, as I reveal that the horse in question is actually a 32-foot tall cast fiberglass sculpture by artist Luis Jimenez called Mustang or Blue Mustang, depends on where you look, which stands near the airport entrance. Here's a quote about it from the official site, which I'm going to have Jesse read. And then I will send you guys a picture so you can see if this thing matches your expectations. So first, here is the quote for Jesse to read.
Jimenez's characteristic style references the grandeur of the Mexican muralists, the energy of the Southwest, and the bright colors he experienced as a youth in his father's sign-making company. Jimenez's vivid paint, unique surface treatments and method of exaggeration have influenced many young artists who are emerging in the galleries of Los Angeles and New York in the styles that are known as lowbrow and urban art.
Okay, so here now is a link to that same page with a quote and a picture, and you tell me if this thing matches what you imagined. And yes, to answer your first question, Mathis, once you click that open,
yes,
that is a big blue horse up on its hind legs with a hard, veiny dick.
I was gonna ask if that was a purposefully hard, veiny dick, but like,
looks like it.
It is, yeah,
yeah.
But the whole horse is pretty veiny.
Yeah, it's a fairly veiny horse in general. It's 32 feet tall, like I said. It's rearing up on its hind legs. Would you say it looks friendly or how would you?
Demonic is the word I would use.
Yeah. I would avoid it on the sidewalk.
Yeah, so you can see why so many people call this thing a Blucifer, even though it's called Mustang or Blue Mustang.
I love that so much. Yeah,
a lot of people call this thing Blucifer. Or at least that's one of the reasons people call it Blucifer, because here is a picture of Mustang at night. And for the listeners at home.
Yeah, that's not welcoming.
Yeah.
That is just a giant blue horse with a big glowing red eye now.
I will say for the purposes of art, based on like their description of the energy of the Southwest and bright colors, it does have that, except it does look absolutely like a demonic horse. I'm here for it. I love this thing.
Yeah, it has glowing. It has brightly lit glowing red eyes that like shine out into the darkness.
Yeah.
And now that you know that, it's probably a good time to tell you that in addition to being thought of as a reference to like the pale horse of death or the ashen horse of death, from the book of Revelations in the Bible, Many people think of the statue as cursed because in 2006, before it was fully complete, the artist Luis Jimenez was working on the thing at his studio in New Mexico when one of three big sections of it, quote, came loose from a hoist, pinning him against the steel beam support and severing an artery in his leg, according to the Denver Post, where he eventually bled to death since he was so far away from the nearest hospital out where he was in Hondo, Lincoln County, in New Mexico, which is like fucking remote. So eventually, yeah, this thing killed its creator. Eventually, his kids teamed up together and finished the statue for construction. But apparently the eyes were already part of the design before it killed him and really were only meant as a tribute to the artist's father, Luis Jimenez, who, like it said, ran a neon sign shop. And that's why the eyes are bright red. And in fact, here is a quote about that for Mathis to read from the Denver International Airport's Director of Arts and Public Events, Heather Kaufman. It's a pretty short little quote.
Hindsight's 20/20 because it really could have been any color of neon.
Yeah. So the red is not even really that important to the larger story. But the thing is scary. It weighs 9,000 pounds. It killed its creator by bloodletting. But it's less a symbol of death and fear and more of a beautiful blue and red wild horse in Colorado colors meant to capture the unbridled spirit of the state of the Southwest and honor the connections between family and culture. Or at least that's what they want you to think. So how many Cholula Nachos for Blucifer? 1 to 5 Cholula Nachos. What do we think? Mathis, final answer. How many Cholula Nachos for Blucifer?
I'm going with like 2.
2 out of 5. What's your reasoning?
It's spooky, it's scary, but I'm not entirely sure it's like anything more than just weird art. It killed the guy accidentally. I'm sure it wasn't like...
You don't think that's... Do you think he's more or less haunted than Harold?
Oh, everything's less haunted than Harold. Harold is like a 1 maybe.
I see. Everything's less haunted than Harold.
Listen, you gave me Harold's history. His history contradicts itself. So I'm pretty confident Harold might not be haunted. I still won't take the tape off his mouth because I'm not stupid, but just in case.
So he still believes in it, but he doesn't think it's real. Jesse,
like not being awesome.
Cholula Nacho rating on Blucifer.
Now, are we allowed to also rate based on more than just, is it spooky? Can we like...
The Cholula Nacho rating is like a very open rating. You just have to justify.
5 out of 5 Cholula Nachos.
Okay.
It looks terrifying.
Yeah.
It has red eyes.
It's scary.
It killed its creator. It's basically every robot that ever existed. And they still put it up. His children had to finish it after it murdered the man, which is dark. And then it is this like creepy rider, this blue giant dick poking out of the ground.
It's like Dr. Manhattan, the horse.
Yeah. Oh, I'm absolutely here for it. That's a 5 out of 5.
I buy with that. Okay. 5 out of 5, 2 out of 5. That's a good split. I like that. Yeah. The Denver airport's kind of fun. Up next theory we're going to cover today. We're going to go back to one of the big things that I said was wrong, with Stapleton as time went on, the Stapleton airport, not the white supremacy of the man, but just the logistical problems of the airport, which is that the runways got really crowded. And that was mostly because the airport was expanded gradually, like I said, over time, which really made it hard to plan ahead with the design. And it left parallel runways that were too close together for airplanes to fly safely next to each other in bad weather, really slowed down the rate at which flights could land from 80 flights an hour to 36 an hour, which is less than half, which sucks. And with in a place like Denver, bad weather is like 150 days a year. So you can't, like, the amount of unpredictability that adds to your numbers is like insane. So that's not good. And Denver International Airport, like I said, is huge. And because they were able to plan it out as one big mega project, it doesn't have this problem. But I want to show you a picture of it from above really quick. And let me know if you notice anything strange.
I'm so ready for this. What kind of weird...
Okay.
All right, that's a stretch. That's a big stretch.
Yeah, I agree.
So what's the stretch? So for the people at home, what's the stretch?
The image is the most bootleg swastika there ever was.
It's a top-heavy swastika.
It's not great.
You don't think that in building this, they were like, well, we're Nazis, the people who are making this.
No. I absolutely do not. We would need to see what was the original construction like? Because you build more runways over time.
This is basically how it. Well, this is how it basically looks, because this airport got to be built at like full size in the middle of nowhere.
Okay.
So this is how it was designed.
But again, terrible. Look.
Some people might tell you it's because it's a windy place and that you might need to fly out from many different directions and have options because, that's just the nature of flying out of Denver. Because like I said, it's 150 days a year of bad weather. Maybe that's why there's runways running in every which direction.
It could be like the secret swastika runway system. If there weren't other runways, they just chose not to highlight as being part of the airport. You know what I mean?
Well, these are the main runways, right?
I don't know. There's one that looks pretty main. It's bigger than all the other ones combined.
They all kind of, even if you look at them all together, they all kind of look like a big chunky.
This is a -5 out of 5.
-5 Chilimanachos?
This is trash tier. F rank.
I'm going to also go like a 1. It's pretty coincidental.
The run wastikas?
The run wastika is not, it's less a swastika and more partial pieces of a Tetris game. Like, we're really zoomed in on a
Tetrominos?
Tetris game.
Yeah. I'm saying run wastikas. You're saying Tetrominos?
I'm just saying I bet I could go to any city in the world and make a swastika as shitty as this one out of a map.
Okay. Shit. Fair enough. Goddamn. Shit. All right. No, that one's fine. That one. Here, you know what? I expected this.
Yeah. Good. Good. I'm glad you did.
Yeah. Because on its own, it's probably just some kind of unfortunate coincidence nobody was thinking about, and we probably shouldn't give too much credence.
It's not even that much. It's not even. It is just a bunch of random marks that, like, one side is way too big, one side is way too small, one side is a rectangle. Like, it is nonsense.
But it's the spirit. It's the spirit of it. It's the spirit of it. These murals were moved into storage in 2018. I'm not 100% sure if they're back up or they're coming back up once the Great Hall construction is completed at the airport. So maybe somebody local can like check for me and report back on the subreddit or something if you want. Last I can see on the official website, they are in storage. But these murals are by an artist called Leo Tanguma, and they've been there forever. The first one is called Children of the World Dream of Peace, and it looks like this. So check that one out. Give everybody a little breakdown on that there.
It's a bunch of kids from all different countries, all different ethnicities with opening a book. Is that what I'm looking at here? It's hard to see because the picture's kind of small.
I don't know what that middle is. So it's a bunch. Yeah, it's like a rainbow. So there's a rainbow across the top of the mural that kind of wipes around to the left and then comes down underneath. And then there is all the kids in the middle that say like peace and all that stuff. And it's all the flags of the world, and all these kids are very excited, and they're like coming towards something in the middle. And on the bottom right is a pedestal that says war, violence, hate, I think.
Yeah, something like that.
And at one point in time, there was something on it which looks to be fallen over now. And it's probably like a dictator or something. I can't really tell from here. And then
there's a lot going on. Yeah.
There's two doves in the middle, and then something beyond the doves that the kids are trying to get to. It's really hard to tell, I'll be honest. If you click on the images, they show you the entirety of the mural.
So that's the thing that I was going to get to in just a minute here.
Okay.
Which is if you go to this site here,
other one,
this site right here, this last site that I posted, you can get all kinds of details on the mural. And the second mural that I told you, they show on the official airport website one portion of it. And you guys saw that portion, right? It's like a sort of not that scary portion. But if you scroll all the way down to the bottom of the last page that I gave you, and you check out some of the later images in that gallery, you can see that they are weirdly fascist. There's like fascist imagery. There's like a warrior who looks kind of Nazi-esque. There's some wild stuff going on. You guys can describe it to the audience.
Well, the one you sent us first with the In Peace with Nature and Harmony or whatever is just fucking weird because they're all around what looks like a dead leopard. And they all look horrified. Then there's either a bull's a bison's head coming out of like a portal in the tree, or that's a mounted bison head. In the background, a wall of some sort is on fire while a bird protects itself with some sort of portal or shield spell.
Yeah, it's pretty nuts. Like, there's Nazism themes. There's like death, genocide. There's like like New World Order government vibes in there.
So
yeah.
The image that I'm looking at, I don't. This is all perspective again. This one is like, so the in Peace and Harmony, the nature one, the one that's smaller than the others. Mathis is right that there's a mounted buffalo head and there, but there's also a bunch of animals that are like in glass containers, like they would be stuffed. And then in the background, a forest is on fire, and there's a bunch of dead people in the front, and you know, like a turtle caught in a net. And it's essentially a take on humanity's role in destroying the environment is what this is.
Yeah.
You can see
the
small children crying. It's a little much, I think, for an airport, but like,
especially something called Peace and Harmony with Nature.
Yeah. There's a Nazi in a gas mask. He's like slicing the dove of Christianity and peace.
Where do you see that?
In half.
That's a later piece of art.
If you follow that last link, you can see the like extra panel of the mural. Down at the bottom, and there's like this big Nazi sort of Darth Vader looking guy who's slicing the dove of peace.
This is the first one, the children of the world dream peace.
So
in the middle, that thing that we couldn't make out what it is, it's the statue that was on the bottom right, and it's been toppled over by the kids is what this is showing.
Yeah.
And if that is a Nazi looking dude, then that's them saying like, F this guy. And you can see
the problem is that it goes right to left, which a lot of people don't understand. People think it goes left to right and it leads to Nazi Darth Vader, but it actually starts with him. And then we like rebuild out of the chaos and topple him.
I thought it was the rainbow is what pulls him down. So the rainbow are the kids. Cause even one of the kids on the scene is the yellow of the rainbow. And it's all these kids that have toppled it over. So the rainbow is starting from right top and moving down to the bottom, and they're yanking it down. And then,
well, it's the what I mean is the panels. The panels go right to left. The first panel is like its own mural, and then you go to the left, and then it's like the rainbow continues. Because you see, if you look at the
I see that
the now. Like yeah, the rainbow like goes off to the other mural, and then goes like that way. But here is a quote, like, obviously, like you guys are all saying, this is an audio podcast. You can't really see how weird, like, and kind of disturbing the imagery is. It kind of has just like a sickly look to it in a way.
Yeah.
I think it's just, it looks really neat and it's really like affecting art, but it's also like extremely kind of like bold and powerful. And I think that some people in an airport might be freaked out by that, especially because there's like kids in coffins and shit and some of this stuff. And like there's even like a letter people are saying is like from a kid at Auschwitz or something like that in the corner. But here's actually a quote from the artist for Jesse to read about this work here.
I have children sleeping amid the debris of war, and this warmonger is killing the dove of peace. But the kids are dreaming of something better in the future. And their little dreams goes behind the general and continues behind this group of people. And the kids are dreaming that peace will happen someday. See how the little dream becomes something really beautiful? That someday the nations of the world will abandon war and come together. I mean, that's exactly my read on the entire thing.
Yeah, exactly. And actually, Leo Tanguma and his family are actually like troubled by the fact that so many people read conspiracy theories into his work. And in fact, here's a quote about that from Leo's daughter, Darlina, for Mathis to read right here.
I think rumors like the airport conspiracies and the mural conspiracies, they really seek to destroy the human connection, the human spirit. But I want to create artwork that will bring us together.
Yeah. So if you want to read more about that and how they're making that art right now and stuff, there's a great Rocky Mountain PBS piece on them and the effect of these conspiracy theories that sometimes form around art like this, not just at the Denver airport, but all over the place. I'll link that in the chat right now. That can go in the show notes.
What's fascinating about this is I absolutely understand it's a double-edged sword, because if this would have been just a mural, and I know we've all seen murals like this, be it at a gallery or most importantly, like in an airport or the outside of a building, right? And it's like,
yes,
peace and love, man. And it says, there's no statement.
It doesn't affect you. Yeah.
Yeah. And you see it and you're like, yeah, okay. And you keep moving. This is done in a way that affects you because it is jarring and it makes you think about it longer than just, and that's what good art should do in the end, is there's something in it where you're like, this touched me. And I think that's the difference between like artwork and like works of art, if that makes any sense.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I vibe with that hard.
Yeah.
But now we got to talk about Chalupa Nachos.
Hell yeah.
How many Chalupa Nachos do you guys give to these New World Order conspiracy murals?
This, I think, is a solid 2, because it, or maybe 2.5. It's right down the middle. I don't think the intention was to be a real thing, but the fact that it's so jarring to some people that the way their brain has to rationalize it is it's conspiracy, that's a solid 2.5 Chalupa Nachos.
I was gonna say 3 for very, very similar reasons. I don't know how you make this. It stopped, you know, it made me think, but I don't know how you make this and not be like, and how, and still be surprised that people saw that and were like, something's off about that art. It's pretty fucking weird.
It looks weird. Let's be real. It looks weird.
But I think it's designed to look weird, right? It's
100%.
It's designed to catch your attention. There's children crying. Like, it's supposed to shock you, much like when you see all the other terrible things that happen in the world. You're supposed to feel like a visceral reaction, except it like leads to what is supposed to be the future, right? Is what it's trying to do. But the problem is, depending on how you're walking, what you see, what, like, it doesn't, it isn't, it's on a corner. So, you may not see 90% of it, in which case, at that point, you're like, what the hell was that?
What the hell? Yeah.
Yeah, I totally get it.
Yeah, and I don't know if you've been to Denver, but Denver is just kind of weird in general. Like, that's the vibe of Denver. It's a weird place. It's interesting.
Never been.
It's an interesting zone over in Denver. Okay, so wait, how many Chalupa Nachos do you give it, Mathis?
3. I would give it 3.
3, 2.5, and 3? That's good. You guys are kind of together on that one. That's the end of The Children of the World Dream of Peace. Now we're going to move on to the next one. So, okay. Like many grand buildings, the Denver airport has a dedication stone. And as with many man-made stone things, there's tons of Masonic and Illuminati imagery all over it, like compasses and the little, you know, the ones that I'm talking about.
Sure.
Here's an image for you to check out that has some detail on the plaque. That you guys can look at and describe to people?
Yeah, the plaque is what you would kind of imagine any sort of Ten Commandments-esque plaque to be. And it says Denver International Airport, and then a bunch of, you know, like the mayor, I assume, the time the plaque was made in 94. And then it is a bunch of quotes. And then it definitely has a Mason symbol on it.
Yeah, that's the big Mason symbol is what I, you know, catches my eye.
Yeah, and right there under the date in that image, again, is the phrase, the New World Airport Commission, which, according to the airport's own website, is a little strange. And Jesse's going to read a quote about that for you now. Here we go.
A dedication marker and plaques around the airport claim it was funded by the New World Airport Commission. Never heard of them? Don't feel left out. It seems no one has. After some digging, it was discovered that no such group exists. Not now. Not when the airport was built. Not ever. So rather than writing it off as nothing, people have jumped to the conclusion that it was actually a group within the New World Order. Sketchy, sketchy.
And I don't know if you guys have picked up on this, but the Denver airport themselves actually kind of like leans in to the weirdness vibe nowadays.
Oh, they love it.
As part of their PR. I mean,
it's definitely going to be. If you're a smart PR person, you're going to lean into that.
So that's kind of how it is now on their website. They kind of like have good information. Along with this marker is a time capsule that's meant to be open in 2094, like I said. It strangely has a credit card inside, which is weird. And according to their official site, the theory goes on to say that not only did the secret society build the thing, but that they're headquartered there too. And here's a quote about that for Mathis to read.
Additionally, the airport building costs were more expensive than originally thought. Theorists believe this money went to the building headquarters, and rumor has it they screwed up the first few buildings, and instead of getting rid of them, they buried them and built on top of them to make one super cool, super secret underground lair. Thank you to Aura Frames for sponsoring today's podcast. It's that time of year for gift giving, man. Everybody loves to find a very unique gift. You want to make your mom or your dad or that special someone just kind of like look at your gift and go, aw, I love this. Instead of going, ooh, another gift card, add it to the pile. And you know what's a really fun gift you can get somebody this year? You know, instead of another gift card that she won't use, a digital picture frame from Aura Frames. It's really the gift that keeps on giving because you can always keep her up to date, or whoever, your mom, whoever, up to date with new pictures. And I've had an Aura frame now for over a year, and I love it. And I say that with a little surprise because I was excited. I always wanted a digital frame, but I didn't know if it would I'd like it, or if maybe I'd love it, or maybe I just wouldn't care. But no, it's amazing. I love that thing. The picture quality is incredible. It truly just looks like a picture frame sitting on my desk. And is as a, you can set up how the photos cycle through. And with an app, you can actually just upload or remove photos from the picture frame. And when the lights go off, the frame itself just turns off. It just detects the light, turns itself off, so it's not this giant, bright, neon picture frame in the pitch dark. I actually just gave my dad one recently, and I got my mom one last year. I love this thing. It's so cool. It's where technology and just home decor really merge really well. It comes with unlimited storage, simple controls on the frame, and you can upload as many photos as you want, and your mom or whoever can pick out the perfect one. This thing was named the number one digital frame by Wirecutter, The Strategist, and Wired, and I can see why. And from now through Black Friday and Cyber Monday, visit AuraFrames.com and get $40 off their best-selling Carver matte frame with the code CHILL. This is their best deal of the year, so get yours now. That's AuraFrames.com with promo code CHILL. Terms and conditions apply.
So this claim seemed crazy to me at first, but I did a little Googling to see if anyone else mentioned anything like it in any sort of like legitimate forum.
Mm-hmm.
And I actually found a short piece in New York Magazine from 2013 by Hua Su, which Jesse is going to read a quote from right now, just to legitimize this theory a little bit more.
There are reasonable explanations for all these strange things you can see on your layover, but the most chilling theories always presume that the all-powerful villain taunts us by hiding his horrible truths in plain sight. A whistleblowing construction worker alleged that the project was delayed because at least five multi-story buildings were completed and then mysteriously buried underneath the airport. He and others also testified to the existence of a complex network of underground tunnels. In 2007, the windshields of 13 planes cracked while at Denver Airport, an unprecedented number that couldn't be explained by the weather or off-course birds. Was this evidence of a nearby testing facility or electromagnetic weapons lab? And where do you think President Barack Obama waited out the comet Elnin when it neared? What am I reading? And narrowly missed Earth in 2011, Denver.
So, you know, the theories have been around, and this is New York Magazine substantiating a story that a construction worker whistleblower said that an entire complex of buildings was buried beneath the airport.
Now, just first, complex buildings. I can totally believe that they built in Denver. It's up high. There are mountains. You can securely build a facility. I could believe that they would build like, yo, this is our end of the world facility. Like, I can believe it. Here's the problem I have with all of this.
Yeah.
All right. As we all know, based on Alex's starting point, he said, one, this place built by racists, potentially racists, and some broke ass swastika.
Well, the previous Denver airport.
Sure.
Or named after a racist.
But like, you know, broke ass swastika. Like, is it like, what's going on here? But then on the exact same flip side, we are being told that this is New World Order, which has some very big, like, you know, like
QAnon,
not just QAnon, but like the protocols of the Elders of Zion vibes, like, you know, a little like, so it is both created by the people who would hate the Masons and also the Masons. Does that make any sense? Like, it is.
Yeah. It's starting to become some like intent biz.
It's totally, if you think about it, like most conspiracies, it is like, wait a minute. It can't be both these things unless the conspiracy is like, but what if they teamed up?
That's kind of the issue though, actually, like legit, like most of the other stuff that there is about this. And really, right. Like my goal is to, so by the end of this episode, you guys are understanding of what I mean when I say the conspiracy theories about the Denver airport, because I am giving you like the overview and the deepest dive that we possibly can go into this without like starting to just theory craft ourselves, right? And beyond this, the things that I've covered so far, there's a lot of less congealed elements of a lot of these theories as well. Stuff like reptilians actually being the ones living down there under the airport, or something to do with alien research or craft storage, or the suitcase gargoyles by baggage claim being some kind of demonic omen, even though really they're probably just a play on what regular gargoyles do, which is like protect people.
No.
Or in this case, luggage from bad vibes. Here's a picture of one of those luggage gargoyles. If you want to see it really quick, you can describe it to the people.
It's literally a gargoyle sitting in a suitcase, and it looks exactly like you would imagine.
It's carved from stone.
The gargoyle's like, oh man, my luggage got stolen.
Yeah. It's literally like a classical gargoyle sitting in a suitcase, all carved from stone. And here's a quote from that Reddit post by Nick Hinton with three N's and three threes in it that kind of gives a broader idea of the kind of thinking going on in the heads of people that are in the Denver airport conspiracy fandom about the types of things going on. I'll read this one myself for you guys. One of my father's friends, who is a Freemason, even told me he worked on them. He helped my dad run a youth football league, and I remember he wasn't able to coach with him for about a month. Some say during DIA's construction, buildings they decided they didn't want to use anymore were buried rather than simply destroyed. However, I haven't been able to find any sources backing this up, although I didn't really look that hard. But if it is true, why would they do this? There's also claims that the airport could double as a hospital in a time of crisis. Some speculate that these tiles, which say AUAG, are not really talking about gold and silver, but actually Australian antigen, the hepatitis B virus. And if you want to see the tiles from the quote that I just mentioned, here they are. You tell me if they mean gold and silver or the Australian antigen.
That's gold and silver.
I mean, let's be very clear. It isn't just a tile that says AUAG.
Yeah.
It is very clearly a mine cart. Like, it is. Yeah. Unless they're mining that good hepatitis, like, there's no way.
Yeah. So that's it becomes kind of a stretch beyond what I've given you is my point. But before we move on to the second part of the show, let's rate the idea of the Denver airport being the New World Order headquarters from 1 to 5, Chiluminachos, please.
Just like the swastika, this is a -5 Chiluminachos. you can't have it both ways. It can't be both a place where racists hang out and a place where people are like, I am here to destroy everything those racists love. Like, it can't be both those things. So, if anything, this episode is great for one thing. A lot of the Denver airport stuff, I was like, I mean, I could kind of buy it. That's neat. And now that we're digging into it, I'm like, nah, it's all bullshit. So this is actually very good for me.
It's not, it's not that that's kind of the vibe. So what about you, Mathis?
I don't know, man. Like a one.
One nacho?
It's a one nacho for that thing, dude. It's not even questionable.
You don't give it any credence?
No, it's a minecart, homie.
That's fair.
It literally is a minecart. Like, you got to be real off the rails if you're like, hold on. But those two wheels, what could those symbols mean? Like, what do you...
That's fair.
These lines at an angle that is the exact same angle JFK was assassinated at.
Oh, my
God. Like, it's just nonsense.
Yeah. So there you have it. That's the length and the breadth of this. You now have the basics of the Denver airport out of the way. I'm ready to reveal that personally, I give the Denver airport maybe 2 out of 5 Chiluminachos overall, maybe 1, but 2 just because you can really never underestimate the insane stupidity of confident rich people with no one to tell them no. You don't know what they're going to do next. They may have some sort of weird apocalypse bunker at the Denver airport. I don't think it has any designs on taking over the government. No way, no way. But maybe you can actually make some Chiluminachos.
If
you're stuck under there.
If the real thing here is that there's 100% something going on underneath there. Like, there's photos and confirmation, all sorts of stuff. I just think it's...
Well, they have like luggage tunnels and stuff like that all under the entire airport, and it's really efficient. So there are tunnels.
I just don't think it's crazy
to say.
This is where the alien government lives. You know, I don't think it's that far.
It's more like you're not there, and it seems mysterious. rather than that there's like a lot of evidence pointing to spooky things happening.
The only person we have to rely on is the same guy whose uncle works at Nintendo and gives us all the leaks about new games.
Yeah, and speaking of that guy, for part two, I shot over to Reddit, and I found two kind of wild posts I wanted to go over in a little more detail, just because I thought they were particularly fun. Thought it would kind of freshen up the tale of the Denver airport a little bit in the zeitgeist, I guess. I don't know. Again, I'm a comedian, not a professor of eyeball pyramids or whatever they're called. Eyes of Providence.
Chiluminachos.
Chiluminachos. First one is for Mathis to read. It's from the Reddit user Tuzahu. Pretty wild little tale. Just go ahead and read this Reddit post like a listener story.
This is by Tuzahu. They start by saying, this is a third hand account. I was not there. I did not know the person that had this experience, but I did work with his SO who told this to me. I have no proof. I've never been to the area, but knowing and working with his SO when she told me of this account, she was physically shaken telling me. My health is changing and I'm wanting to get my experiences out there so someone may find use for them. I was told this about 1991. I was the charge RN of an AIDS HIV 55 bed inpatient unit. One of our nurses had moved to town from Denver, Colorado, and was employed at our facility. Over time, we became friends and talked about our lives. I could tell she was wanting to tell me something for a long time, but I never pushed her. I let her open up when she was ready. I had no interest in UFOs at all, but working in this facility, we all had spirit encounters. The building we were in was an old nursing home, so speaking of things we saw there was common with all of the staff. She told me what had happened to her boyfriend in Denver one day and again over time. She was so disturbed about it. He did some type of construction work. At the time, this would have been late 1980s. He was working under where the Denver airport would have been at the time. One night he came home shaken and told her he got in big trouble at work. He was working in a section which he was not allowed to roam around, but a designated areas he could only be in, and there was security around to make sure. That day, security was lax, and he wandered down some hallways, finding other hallways that were huge, wide, and tall. The doors in the hallway were very tall, unusually tall, with high door handles, and were difficult to open. One door was slightly open, and he went in. It was a restroom. Rows of stalls like any restroom, except the toilets were 6 feet tall. White porcelain like a regular toilet, but massive in size. He could not see the top of the toilet. Across from the stalls was a table, and he had to get against the opposite wall to see what was on it. There were large faucets and handles. It was a washing sink, no mirror on the wall. Security suddenly came in and got him taken back to his designated area and lectured him. He knew he was not to leave the area. That night, he told his girlfriend what had happened, and he was fearful he was in trouble. Who would need such huge toilets? The next day, they both left for work. At night, she came home, and he was not there yet. She never saw him again. His keys, dog, clothing, everything were still at the apartment, but he and his Jeep were missing. Later, the Jeep would be found abandoned out of town. He was never found. Family never found him. There seemed to be little investigation on his disappearance. She waited at the apartment for a year, hoping he'd return. No one heard a word from him. She moved and still never heard a word. Neither did any of his family. And she would tell me the story again and again, very upset and scared. She later moved off and I lost track of her, but never forgot her account and how she'd get so upset telling the story to me. Years later, I heard rumors of things going on under Denver. Who knows what's going on and who would use 6 foot toilets? That's the real mystery.
It is a mystery. Like, I don't know. Like, that's a pretty unique and specific story that you wouldn't think would be a real story. Like, that somebody would like bust out as like something that they try to impress somebody with. It's like a kind of strange story. But I don't know if it kind of lends credence to some sort of other type of creature being in the mix, which a lot of people mention aliens and reptilians in their stories, but I mean, obviously, I don't know if this is true. But if you scroll down into the comments, there's tons of like great commentary on this one, and I just never heard of that before. Like, where while it was being built, because that's when this thing, according to the theory, right? Yeah. That's when this thing would have been buried underneath, and you know, in the late 80s, that's like before the airport was fully built, so. I don't know. Could be that the numbers don't quite match up on the dates, but I don't really know. And I don't know. I thought this one was kind of a fun one, just because it adds that weird 6 foot toilet vibe. I don't know. What do you guys think of what do you think of the 6 foot toilet? You want to rate this on a Chiluminacho scale?
I don't understand I mean, I kind of feel I want to give it a 3 because it's like a cool story, but I don't know if I believe like the 6 foot toilet thing. like literally matches up with nothing that we know.
What would you, guess the 6 foot toads were for?
I don't know, dude. Giant humanoids. Like, I don't know.
Three Cholula Nachos from Mathis?
I'll go with three, but it's a generous three.
Okay.
I must stress, if you go to this page, please keep reading down below. The big takeaway that this is all bullshit to me is that one person posted, I first read this story on Kerry Cassidy's site, Project Camelot, and then goes into how this is an old story. And people are like, oh yeah, I've seen this story before somewhere else. And then this person says, my ex-boss told me this exact story. And someone was like, your boss said that they found toilets made for giants to piss shit and wash their hands in. He's like, yep, exact description. So this seems like one of those things people just tell. And this person's like, oh, yeah. Again, I don't believe anything I see on the internet. So this, I was like, nah, this is bullshit. And in the comments, people are like, nah, this ain't real. This is a story people tell. So I'm going to say this is zero.
There's actually, if you scroll down, a kind of big post that has like an older version of the story posted. So it's actually like a slightly better told version of the story that you can read. That's by Wild Knight 5190 in the same thread. If you want to scroll down, you can look up giant urinals and toilets on the search if you want to read that story. But it's like a similar version. I picked this one because if you start reading the comments, you start to see this is like another meme about the Denver airport that's like kind of emerging, but that they haven't picked up on the main new like fluff pieces that they write about the Denver airport.
You know what's actually great about this? In the comments, someone says, as the people talk about how, yeah, I've heard this story before too, but like little things different here and there. And apparently, and everyone in the comments is like, this is the book you should read. Apparently, it's a book called The Vanishing Hitchhiker that is about the spread and change of urban legends. Mm. That sounds super interesting. I want to read that immediately.
Urban legends, like in American culture, I feel like have taken a very central role in a weird way that they haven't in a lot of other places because we're so young of a country that we don't have that much like myth and legend to us. So it's all just like the guy with the hook on the edge of the car at Lover's Lane. It's wild stuff. Here's another important part of the Reddit article that I mentioned earlier by Nick Hinton with three N's and three threes. I'll read it for you guys now and then I'll show you what he's talking about. On March 12th of this year, around 1 a.m, I was at the Denver International Airport trying to make my way back home before the pandemic got any worse. And while I was there, I kept hearing this weird ass shit. They were testing different alarms all night. One for a tornado, one for a shooter, etc. They all sounded normal, except for this one. They were all played in a repeating pattern, so I knew when to start recording. Was this a glitch, or was it done intentionally? Can anyone make out what it says? And here's the clip for you guys. It starts about 10 seconds in or so.
Sounds like bells. Yeah, that sounds like a tech glitch. His voice, the voice that comes through is like what it's like an announcement bing bong, I think, and then the announcement voice, but it's just like the speaker's fucked.
But it's like, so what he's saying, just in case you don't understand, is he's saying that this loop came on over and over again with a bunch of different announcements that were completely audible, except for this one, which played every time and sounded like this. Yeah. So it's not that the speakers are fucked. It's like the other messages are normal, but this one is also playing.
Yeah. Weird. That's definitely weird, but I still think it's probably a tech issue.
Yeah. So actually, here's a comment on that post from a username that I love, Stakeupson, for Jesse to read right here.
Former Den airport worker here. As someone who's slept in that airport many times, they regularly test alarms at night, which isn't unusual. But what you're hearing sounds like two separate alarm warnings playing simultaneously. The one I can pretty clearly remember is, the threat is no longer in this area. I was about to say, that's 100% what it kind of sounded like, or something like that. Can't tell what the other one is yet. The swastika runways are incredibly space efficient, but yeah, it definitely feels like they could have gone a different direction as they have so much space. The lowest level the average person can get to is the train level, B1. Running alongside the train are a series of tunnels where bag drivers run checked bags to and from the planes. I've slept several times on the floor underneath the train level B2. Down there, you mostly find conveyor belts and piles of scrap metal. The airport was initially designed with a conveyor belt system to transport bags in this area. It was actually so fast and efficient, they didn't account for the drafting created by the bags causing massive pileups. And the whole thing was then literally scrapped. I did find a gate off ramp that led down from B2 into total darkness. Never saw anyone or anything come up from there. Like OP, this was the first conspiracy that I ever looked into. So I was always fascinated by this, by that airport, which I could have explored more.
So that even answers almost about the like unfinished, like tunnels or structures that were built under there, maybe as being like too high draft clogged baggage tunnels. Right.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, I don't know. He addressed a lot of the things that we talked about. I don't know if he's real. Obviously, that's our problem with people from Reddit. But he actually added an edit to that post later also, which I'll have Jesse read too, that like even follows up more on things that people were asking about the airport. And he just answered them.
Yeah, it's weird because the last line either sounds like of the weird thing. It either sounds like it's aerial or variable. I can't tell, but it also could be because it's clearly two things overlaid on each other
in the recording. Yeah.
Edit: just updating with a small list of random info since so many people are interested. Speculate as you will and enjoy. I worked primarily on Concourse C. That is where my hideout was, and also where I noticed the blocked off ramp. As far as I know, the current plans to expand the airport include the building of Concourse D, the train already goes that far for storage when not in use, as well as walkways from the main terminal all the way to Concourse D. The current walkway ends at Concourse A. When the airport was built, much of the initial art was phallic in nature. Most of it has since been removed or covered up. The last bit of phallic art I'm aware of is a section of banister on the ticket counter level of the main terminal. Not sure if it's still there since everything is under construction, but the poles of the banister were definitely penises at one point. They've been splashed with tie-dye coating of paint in addition to the talking gargoyle mentioned in the comments above. There used to be a pair of gargoyles at each door. The voice box was only added to one gargoyle they left behind. For those unfamiliar with the layout of the airport, the only reason Denver is the second largest airport in the world is because of land area. It is outside the city in the plains of Colorado, very flat. The main terminal is the southernmost building, along with the newly built Westin Hotel. This terminal is where security and ticket counters are. The train starts underneath this terminal to run north in a straight line and stops at each of the three current concourses. If you were to walk the train tunnel, it would be over a mile to get to Concourse C. With Denver's turbulent winds due to the mountains, a swastika pattern for runways really does make a lot of sense. It provides many options for landing and taking off in any direction, while still keeping the design compact. Many pilots love it, but yes, the shape is unfortunate. Again, like, not necessarily a swastika.
Yeah, it doesn't really look that swastika-y, but I see what they're talking about.
If you draw it and ignore two runways, it is ish.
All this to show that just the idea of the scale of this airport and how there could believably be a network of tunnels underneath it, leading all around it, that has a totally non-nefarious purpose. And I don't know, the Denver airport, I was very excited about doing an episode on, because I thought it was going to be wacky and crazy and super mind blowing. But I've kind of just discovered that it's kind of just like a conspiracy themed airport,
yeah,
rather than an airport that's like very conspiracy y. So if you want to go there and take a picture of the giant horse dick and post about it on Instagram, go for it. But I think that this is the Denver Airport episode done and done. Please buy tickets to our show on December 3rd in Los Angeles. Please sign up for patreon.com/Chilluminati Pod. And the epic tale of Joe LaRosa, Giuseppe himself, and the Order of Meonia continues there next week in the minisode, The Seven Rings of the Wraiths, Part 2. Ooh. And remember, him again, hero. See you on r/Chilluminati Pod. I read it wrong. Don't look into that. Goodbye. Or did I?
Goodbye.
What?
Anyway.
Me and my wife were sitting outside indulging on our porch one night, enjoying ourselves. I needed to go to the bathroom, so I stepped back inside, and after a few moments, I hear my wife go, "Holy shit, get out of here." So I quickly dash back outside, and she's looking up at the sky in awe. I look up too, and there's a perfect line of dozen lights traveling across the sky.